This is John.
And this is Ash.
And welcome to Your Childhood Trauma. We discuss Buffy. We go week by week. We discuss three episodes. We started at the beginning. And we have almost worked our way to the end of season two. But first, we get a few episodes here in the middle, which are sort of stalling for time, almost. They're sort of standalone. The first of which... is going to be, we're going to talk about today, is Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. This is one of the funnier episodes of Buffy, altogether, in my opinion.
Definitely a hilarious episode.
Defend your boy. Let's go ahead and start.
I'm not necessarily defending him. I get why he did it. But, yeah, I'm not saying it was right. It definitely was fucked up, but, yeah.
Yeah. He got Buffy turned into a rat, okay?
Amy turned into a rat, okay? That's Amy's fault.
Oh, I do think one good thing, speaking of Amy, that we are seeing, a character arc that will build over the rest of the series for Amy, as in, like, okay, now she's getting into magic. She's clearly willing to, play with the limitations of morality and ethics with magic, and obviously that'll be talked about a lot more. Did you realize that? I believe this might be in your trivia, so sorry to step on your toes. I believe this is the episode where Big Bad comes from. Buffy refers to Angelus as the big bad thing in the dark. And that is...
I think it is. It might be in the trivia, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I think this is the first episode Big Bad, the term Big Bad was used.
Yeah. I want to give Giles some credit for how he handles the Miss Calendar situation. I think he handles it appropriately. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like him telling her that she has to make things right with Buffy is the way to go. I think that carries over into Passion as well. But, yeah, mostly this episode is about Xander getting chased around by women who are suddenly in love with him because of his spell. And Oz punching him in the mouth. Good for Oz. That's why we all like Oz.
I love Oz. He's an underrated character.
We all like Oz because he punched Xander in the mouth.
Everyone loves Oz. Yeah. I love Oz. What I love about this episode is, like, you know, this episode, this would have been Xander's, his fantasy turned into a nightmare, pretty much. Because he loves, women to just, love him and stuff like that. But it's an absolute nightmare for him, and I love that.
Xander, this is sort of the beginning in a history of him not handling his relationship with Cordelia well. Obviously, it gets even worse toward the end. But, like, whenever things aren't going well between Xander and Cordelia. Like, Xander, we don't really care about spoilers here. When they break up, he should have come to Cordelia way before then, way before she walked in on him and Willow and had a talk with her. And, like, maybe it's because this is his first relationship, you could defend it like that, but he does not handle his romantic relationships in general, including Anya, at all. He's a good friend, pretty much, most of the time, but he's got sort of a shitty boyfriend.
Yeah, I bring up, his parents. His parents have a terrible relationship. We see it the episode where you get supposed to get married. I can't even think of the name of it right now, but it changes the way that his father just treats, his wife, his mother. It's just horrible. So I can see, Xander, he's a very emotional person, so he's, he doesn't handle things well a lot of times, especially when it comes to relationships. He can be petty. He can be really petty. That's the thing about him.
I think I just think Xander was very, and Cordelia were very fortunate that Buffy got turned into a rat. Because when everyone was charging at them, I think they might have been in
Oh,
real
yeah.
trouble if Buffy started attacking
Some people probably would have died or something.
them.
Yeah.
Joyce was probably the funniest part to me was when Xander
Yeah.
had, I don't know why, maybe he just like doesn't think of Joyce as a woman at all. It's just like some non-gendered creature, but he should have realized that she was gonna be in love with him. But he and Cordelia were like oblivious to it until Joyce, went all axe
Yeah,
murderer.
that's. Yeah, that was the funniest. That was probably the funniest because it was so like
That
off.
and Drusilla, because the Drusilla thing just comes out of
Oh, yeah.
nowhere.
Was hilarious, and I was thinking, like, what is like she did turn him, and like we see, because we see, season three was Vamp Xander would have been like, so it would have been an interesting dynamic to see Vamp Xander with Vamp Drusilla. That would have been so weird, but so awesome.
I just like Angel's react. Angel's just like, really? Him?
Like
Like,
what?
I really did drive you crazy, Drew.
Yeah, he like the way he like he just walked away. He was like, "This is like this is fucking ridiculous."
I'm not even dealing with this shit.
He seemed actually like in his feelings about it. Like, he was upset that Drusilla pretty much chose him, Xander over him. So this is funny considering like he was stealing Drusilla from Spike earlier in the episode.
Yeah. The Drusilla Angel relationship is, I mean, it's a really, Drusilla almost seems oblivious to the way Angel and Spike feel about each other, and it's hard to say whether she knows. She says she likes the attention, but it's hard to say whether Drusilla knows that, like, these two men are vampires, as they are, like, want to kill each other. Or she really thinks that they're in a happy family and they both just get jealous and love her. Like,
No, I
Angel and
think she
Spike do not
knows.
like each other. Like, they aren't
Yeah,
pals
they
who are
really.
competing for the same girl. Like, they want to fucking kill each other.
It's like I think Drusilla really knows. It's like even back at What's My Line Part Two when Angel, was taunting Spike and saying like, "I look the way she touched me right now. I can tell when she's not satisfied." And then she. Pretty much try to, hilariously shush his Angel for like revealing it. It's such a funny. I love the dynamic of the three of them because it's so funny because Angelus
Well,
would
Angelus
be
is
like
such.
taunt.
Angelus makes Spike seem like a nice guy, quite frankly. I mean,
Yeah.
like, he's such an asshole about everything and to everybody.
It's so hilarious to me. I love it.
And on the note of Angelus being a terrible, horrible asshole, Passions.
Oh my
Where
gosh.
he basically makes the case that it is better to stalk and hate someone than to be indifferent toward them, because at least you feel something.
Yeah.
The episode's really smart to me because it takes the idea of like there being a thin line between love and hate, and it sort of,
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you a very literal interpretation of that. Like, I loved, he went from being obsessively in love with her to, like, obsessively tormenting and making her life hell.
Yeah, and Willow touches on that. She tells Buffy,
The same, only thing.
he thinks about, yeah.
Yeah, that's one, the one thing that hasn't changed. And this was, out of the three, the other one we're going to talk about is Killed by Death. This is the strongest of the three, and this is one of the stronger episodes of season two, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's definitely an amazing episode, and a lot every most fans love this episode, and it was really well done. And what I love about this episode is there's been this threat of Angelus for a while now, so this episode made the threat of Angelus really real. It wasn't just he just taunting and stalking and just being a creep all around creeper. No, he made the That he's the threat is real now. He's just like straight up still like
You're absolutely right. It elevates the stakes for everyone involved. Suddenly, It's not, you know, your stalker ex. It's someone who is murdering the people close to you. And I think Buffy has finally come to grips with the fact by this episode that she has to kill him. Like there's no other option. It's also a pretty great little moment for Anthony Stewart Head and Giles. His moment of vengeance. And Buffy saving him and then punching him in the face.
Punch with love. That was love right there.
Yeah, I mean
I love.
that's a great scene though. They don't say much, but they don't need to say much, and there's a lot communicated there. And yeah, I think Buffy understands why Giles did what he did, but obviously it was a really stupid thing to do. There was no way that Giles was gonna be a suicide mission. It'd be bad enough if he just went to fight Angelus, but he went down there where Drusilla and Spike were too. So I mean,
They didn't help him though. They rolled the fuck out.
well,
Like, they left.
Drusilla was going to help him
Yeah,
and Spike
that's
Spike
true.
suffer. It's not fair unless he tags you.
Oh yes, well, I love Ripper and Giles came out. That bad boy in him.
Well, he got a
Just like
couple
said, fuck
good
it.
licks in, and then he
Yeah,
was about to.
he got some hits in.
Yeah, he got.
He got some hits in.
Well, I mean, he pretty much came out of nowhere. It's the RKO out of nowhere. He just sucker punched Angel with a fiery 2x4 or some shit. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I think it was a 2x4, but yeah, it was awesome.
One person we haven't really mentioned in Passion and in Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered that I just love so much in all three of these episodes. Cordy is so good in these episodes because she's just like sort of becoming part of the gang, and it's so weird to her. She's like, "Why do I let you people get me involved in these things?" I had such a
No, I know
nice,
what she has.
normal life.
It's like her freak out. I was like, oh my gosh, I invited him, into my car
Into my
once to see
car.
this stuff.
I had to convince my grandmother to switch cars with me. I mean, I don't know if that was smart, or I don't know if she was like willing to sacrifice her grandmother, or it's hard to interpret whether she was like trying to just say kill him, grandma, or she was like, oh, he won't come after her, he doesn't know her. It's hard to know what Cordy's intentions were there, but clearly she needed it. At what point does Joyce just have to like? I mean, I understand that people in Buffyverse delude themselves a lot, but at what point does Joyce just have to stop being so like completely oblivious to everything going on around her? Like they're nailing crosses to the door, and he like can't come through. And, like, oh, he's superstitious. Yeah, makes sense, right?
Yeah, that was great. This is like she had the garlic all over the place. Like, first of all, I know your room stinks, okay?
Yeah.
Like, the whole room smells like garlic and shit. And then, yeah, I did like Joyce in this episode, the way she handled because she handled it like a parent, but in the end, she was worried, stalker ex-wife.
She does, but she
so,
also is sort of unfair about it because she's like, you don't tell me anything. And it's like, Joyce, you're never around. One time Buffy was like trying to tell you about cheerleading, and you told her you told her you were busy and to help you out. Like, I mean, it just doesn't seem
Well, I
very
love it.
like Buffy's gonna like, Mom, I'm thinking about having sex. What do you think? Like, yeah, that's gonna happen.
What took so long for her to get to talk? No,
Yeah, really.
she's
Like,
like
she's
17
17. God knows.
Well, I can't really say that. I never actually got to talk. Like, there was attempts.
I never got to talk out of there. Not
Yeah,
that.
it was like.
Not the talk. I don't. How do? I mean, I don't even. Honestly, I have no recollection of how I learned about sex. I just did. Probably found some porn.
That's probably it, yeah. with Cinemax.
No. HBO is very educational at some parts, if not parts of the night. They used to have that series, Inside, Real Sex or something, and it was like
Oh yeah, real
documentaries.
sexy.
It was like documentaries about people's sex lives. So I used to watch that shit when
Yeah,
I was a kid. That was
I did
fascinating.
too.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a really solid episode though, and like you said, it really took Buffy and Angel's antagonistic relationship to the next level, almost in the way that them having sex was intended to take their romantic relationship. Like this
Yeah.
is the close as like a an obsessive stalker. This is as close as Angel comes to like being able to, I don't want to be intimate with Buffy because he is impacting. He's
Yeah.
also going after Joyce in the at
Oh my
Buffy's house is clearly like a message that like it's this isn't the
God.
end of it.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, I lo it was. You know, I love that. You know, there's so many good scenes in this episode, like with him spilling the beans. Because at first, you know, you think about, oh my gosh, he's going after Joyce. You know, what's he going to do to Joyce? And then he drops this, like, it shows that Angelus is, he knows how to, like, get under people's skin. He didn't have to, like, harm Joyce or anything to fuck things up. No, he just drops the bomb that they had sex.
Yeah.
And that just is like,
And like,
oh my
if I
gosh.
was Joyce, I thought it was pretty clear that like he wanted her to know, like, 'cause it came out of nowhere. He's just like, but Joyce, ever since we made love, I just like, wait, what? You don't just say that to somebody. What the hell?
Definitely. I love the scene where, like, this shows how fucked up Angel is. He kills Jenny. Sends her over to job. First, he sets this whole scene, like,
Oh,
that moment of dread. It was like that moment of dread, like. All this stuff that he did, you know, with, you know, the rose petals and the flower and the, it was just, and it says upstairs, and he walks in and that she's dead. It was just so, it's so sad. And then he literally goes all the way over to Buffy's house just so he can, you know, enjoy their reaction of them finding out. And that scene was played so, you didn't have to hear the other end of that phone conversation. You just knew, and it was just so fucked up and heartbreaking.
I
And it was very
guess
well
I
acted.
didn't. It was very well acted. It was fucked up, heartbreaking. I mean, she kind of
You
had
don't
it
like Jenny
coming.
telling
She
it.
had it coming.
She didn't know. Jenny, she didn't know that was gonna happen. No one told her that part about the, you know, the, you know, the soul. You know, had a catch to it. You know, she didn't know like a moment of happiness was gonna make him lose his soul. She didn't know that. She probably would have told,
She
or
was
you know,
still
would
like
have
an
said something.
undercover spy meddling in these people's lives, and then like her meddlesome nature got herself killed. Like, I don't know. You know,
Well.
curiosity kills more than the cat. I don't know. Angelus does make a more serious attempt on Buffy in the next episode, though. Killed by Death. He
Yeah.
comes after Buffy in the cemetery when Buffy is ill with flu. And he has to be, she has to be saved by the Scoobies, who I never understand why, like, vampires in Buffy are so scared of crawl. All it does is, like, burn their skin when they touch it. It's not like you're gonna kill them by touching them with the crawl. So, like, ah, get away, get away.
Yeah. It burns. It burns.
Okay, it burns, but, like, you're in a fight to the death, and then you run away because something might burn? I don't know. This out of the three, this was pretty clearly the weakest to me. I thought
Yeah.
the Kindestad is one of the lamest villains that Buffy produced, and I thought the whole thing with her and her cousin as a child was just sort of forced. Like, it'd be one thing if we knew
Yeah.
that Buffy had been close to a cousin that had died all like a long time ago
Yeah,
all
we
along.
do.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
just introduces it in this episode, and it's like, see how much it impacts her? Wait, what? What? This feels
Yeah,
like an
so,
episode that didn't need to exist. Like, this is filler.
Yeah, it pretty much was like a filler episode, you know. The Angela's going after Buffy. It didn't, I don't know, it just didn't, wasn't as impactful as it should have been, especially after Passions and everything. But the episode felt more, I guess, early season two or season one type
Yeah.
of episode.
Yeah, it
It
was.
reminded me of Nightmares.
Yes, I was about
Not
to say the
that.
exact same thing. It is reminiscent of Nightmares.
Yeah.
Especially because there's a kid involved and there's this bizarre monster that's, I guess, a demon. I mean, that's, I guess.
I don't know what it
I mean, he can't be that badass if, like, he got killed by the flu by Buffy when she was about to pass out, and he only fights like dying children. I mean, he's not
Yeah.
exactly the most he's clearly evil, but he's not exactly the most intimidating guy.
Yeah.
The and the whole like
It was.
the little sucker things on his eyes, it's just gross more than anything. It's like, I don't want to see that shit.
Yes, those are so nasty. I was like, ew, what the fuck is that? I was like, this is an episode like I don't really watch, so I've forgotten all, like I actually forgotten about that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was
One of my
just
favorite
fuck.
parts of this episode, though, or my favorite part, were when Xander and Cordy sneak into, I don't know, like some file room, and Cordelia has to distract the security guard. And like, just
Yeah.
that her interaction with that security guard is great. He's like, I didn't, he's like, a lot of people think that security guards are just failed police academy. This was always my dream. Of course, I did try to be a fireman. I failed. But, this is where the excitement really happened. And Cordelia is the one, you have the most beautiful nose.
Yeah. I think my favorite part was
And
like when Joyce was trying to.
go ahead.
But I was saying my favorite part was when Joyce was explaining, you know, Buffy's fear of hospitals, and she told that was saying how her cousin died and Buffy was in there by herself, and you can hear Cordy say, "Yuck!" It's like she just told this fucked up story,
Yeah.
and you said, "Yuck!"
I was thinking
I was
also,
like.
like, another Cordy highlight is when Buffy, first of all, let me just say this, when Buffy tries to tell them that something is not right, like, why are they not, why don't they just listen to it? Has she ever been wrong? Ever? It's every time
Yeah.
Buffy is trying to be like, oh, this is evil and I should kill it, and they've been like, oh, you're imagining things. She's been right every single time. So I think they should just listen at
Yeah.
this point. But when she when Cordy's like, oh, so this isn't just you feeling helpless about sick children dying and trying to create an imaginary monster so you have something to fight. And then Giles tells her to have more tact, and she's like, tact is just not saying true stuff. I'm like, well,
Yeah, pretty
yeah. Yeah, big Cordy fan in season two, really. I don't know what else there is to say about this episode. Of course, Buffy kills the bad man.
Yeah,
And, yeah.
there was a
She.
lot of Cordy in this episode.
It was, which was, I guess, probably the highlight of it. It's been
Her and
later
Giles.
on, she's gonna go work with Giles, and he's like, oh, I have to work with, and she's like, oh, way to go, tact man, or something like that.
I actually wish there was more, you know, Giles and Cordy stuff. The dynamics, like she's like that annoying child in the group
Well, I
when it
mean,
comes to
she's
Giles.
so
He's like,
used to everybody loving her, and Giles is just so annoyed by her. She doesn't seem to process it,
it's just it's so awesome.
Yeah, I like.
I don't know how to say that Cordy back in the Bewitched episode, and like of all the days to dump somebody,
Valentine's
like
Day.
I really did. Yeah, it's
That's what
like, oh
Xander
my
says
God,
to her.
like
He's like, you know, it's a good day to break up with somebody? Any other day. Any day that's not
yeah, it's
Valentine's
like
Day.
so Valentine's Day to dump somebody. Like, it's just so
I forgot
fucked
to shout out Harmony. I always love to see Harmony. She never really shows up
Harmony.
much in these early episodes, but yeah, she's the one who's picking on Cordy, and then she's the first one who's like upset with Cordy for being mean to Xander later.
Break it up with him.
Like, anybody who would listen to their friends over Xander is a loser. Wait, what? Anyway, though, we are, do you want to try to do, just finish season two next week? Just have a big week?
So we could just, you know, finish the whole season and,
yeah.
Instead of breaking it off, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so next week we're going to do I Only Have Eyes for You, which is, one I personally love. Go Fish, which is one nobody personally loves. And Becoming, parts 1 and 2, which is, you know, classic. So, that about does it for the discussion of our 3 episodes. But, Ash, I'm assuming you have trivia?
Yes. Okay, for Bewitched, I'm just shortening that episode. Oz band Things Was Ain't My Baby performs on stage for the first time since Inca Mummy Girl. The song which the Dingoes played, Pain, can also be heard performed in Buffy's house in Dead Man's Party. Amy Madison, who first appeared in Season 1 Witch, will have a bigger role playing Season 1's Witch, will have a bigger role playing Season 6. Xander demonstrates very mild carpentry skills for the first time when he boards up the door of Buffy's basement to keep the rabbit girls away. Although, as in the library, the attempt fails since the basement door opens the other way. That was funny. When he tried to block off the door for Buffy, and the door opened the other, I was like, jeez. This episode marks the first use of the term Big Bad in the quote, "The Big Bad Thing in the Dark." So, you're right. However, the term would later be shortened to Big Bad in Season 3 episode Gingerbread. This phrase will be used repeatedly throughout the series to describe the major villains, especially those involved in a season's main conflict. Spike tends to call himself the Big Bad in later seasons, even when he isn't.
Even when he's clearly not. I like specific. There's a time like in season 4 where he's like the Big Bad is back, and then he gets captured right away.
Like, idiot. Amy asks Buffy, bad breakup, to which Buffy replies, believe me when I say, Buffy is, of course, referring to Angel, who's been so unsurprised. It's like the first fucked up breakup. Sorry. Jenny makes 2 attempts to apologize and make up with Giles at the events of innocence. Amy will once again cast the rat transformation spell to turn herself into a rat to escape in Gingerbread. She remained that way until season 6 when Willow finally manages to reverse the spell. What? And no one's bothering while Willow, like, just she kind of forgot to try to, like, reverse that spell. And so she realized, like, oh yeah, I can't do that. In this episode, we see a little of Willow's dark, murderous side. This persona is further developed during season 6 from Bargaining Part 1 to Wrecked and Seeing Red to Grave. Then, not even needing a weapon, just her magical powers. The scene in which Xander and Cordelia are lying on the floor, attacked by the mob, is part of the flashback in him. Xander refers to the events as good times, even though he clearly expresses it now as a nightmare. Obviously, Xander has grown and come to realize that everybody gets to be chased around frantically by a bunch of wild, love-crazed women. Furthermore, Willow will call on Hike to turn R.J. Brooks into a female. After Xander sees the spell had no effect on Cordelia and enters the library to find Buffy flirting with him for the first time, he seems quite content to forget about Buffy and forget about Cordy and pursue Buffy, showing that she is his first choice and foreshadowing his breakup with Cordelia in season 3. Drusilla becomes one more supernatural female to be attracted to Xander.
I don't know. I mean, she's not.
I mean, granted,
yet.
It was a spell.
Yeah.
Anyway. First saw Cordelia. We first saw Cordelia and Joyce meet in school hard, and here we see they have been introduced as Joyce greets her by name. Amongst the female mob pursuing Xander is the Sunnydale High School lunch lady, who recur in I Only Have Eyes for You and play a much bigger role in Earshot. Following this episode, Cordelia leaves her posse and joins the Scooby Gang fully. Despite Cordelia's previous stated desire to keep her relationship with Xander a secret, she has fully revealed it by the beginning of this episode, as her posse and everyone else in school knows. Oh, by the way, I felt it so fucked up. Like, how did everyone know that the next day Xander got dumped?
I don't. I like, guess because it happened in the middle of the bronze, and like, I guess people could have been talking about it because it was pretty much in the open, like at the local club. I just want to know what kind of, like, this club lets these high school kids in all the fucking time. Like, it doesn't seem, what kind of place is this?
And it's like, anybody can get in, like, because even in college, they're still hanging out in that same damn hangout spot, which means high school, you know, the college kids, Giles being there. It's like, what? I guess. While Spike is clearly still injured from his ordeal in the church, he is stating to heal as shown in the fact that he seems stronger and the burns on his face have started to heal to the point they are much less prominent. The episode received quite well with audiences and critics alike. The episode boasts a 9.2 rating in TV.com with 540 votes and probably stands as the 26th best episode ever. After this episode aired in Britain, Sky TV dropped the show from its Saturday night 8 p.m. slot and replaced it with Third Rock from the Sun. The series wasn't shown for another year and only started to be broadcast again after a lot of complaints from bitter fans. Passion was originally in this episode's place, but the Buffy creators had to concoct something in a hurry to accommodate Sarah Michelle Gellar's absence for filming Saturday Night Live. Joss Whedon claims, "We wrote it in a matter of days. We were like, we have to think of something that would turn Sarah into a rat for 4 days." Sarah shot all her scenes first before heading off to New York. Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, the title of the episode, comes from the Frank Sinatra song Bewitched. Who died and made you Elvis? Which is referencing Elvis Presley, obviously. She loved you before you invoked the great roofie spirit. Roofie is a common slang term for roof and all. A date rape drug. Oh, gosh. I forgot about that part. When she said that light, I was like, oh, gosh. While casting the love spell, Amy invokes Diana as the goddess of love and the hunt. Diana, or Temis, was the Latin Greek goddess of the hunt, sure enough, but she was also chastity mating goddess. The Latin Greek goddess of love is Venus or Aphrodite. Perhaps this was what caused the spell to backfire, making all the themes of Sunnydale fall in love with Xander, but urging to hurt him too. Yeah, she did say the wrong goddess, actually. When Xander and Cordelia flee Sunnydale High, it's a bright afternoon, or possibly even morning, but by the time they reach Buffy's house, it's night. Yeah, the town isn't that, well, it shouldn't be that big. Well, apparently it keeps growing.
By the way, I would point out that Amy's pretty powerful that she can just turn somebody into a rat now. That seems like some...
Yeah,
that's more than, like, levitating pencils.
Yeah, like, she clearly been practicing behind closed doors since The Witch. In the scene where Amy bewitches her teacher, the name of the author is Samuel Clemens on the blackboard is spelled Samuel Clemens with 2 M's. Although the library doors could be barricaded in earlier and later episodes, Xander fails to isolate himself this way. The doors suddenly swing both ways. Valentine's Day during 1998 occurred on a Saturday, but this episode takes place on a school day and the morning after Valentine's Day should be on a Sunday. Unless there is a time jump to Monday morning following Cordelia breaking up with Xander, this is a goof on the writer's part. Buffy receives a long box full of roses with a card that says soon. In the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer, Sarah's character awakens to find the same message written on her mirror written in lipstick. Oh, yeah, it's when the killer, like, cut off her fucking hair while she was sleeping. Below the Ed Need sticker in Xander's locker, a sticker reading sheep is shown. This is possibly tied to the women who follow Xander like sheep in Cordelia's line to Harmony at the end of the episode. But most likely, more than likely, just another band sticker. An X-Men 2099 poster is seen on the wall next to Xander's bed above his nightstand. Joss Whedon is an avowed X-Men fan, citing Kitty Pryde as the inspiration for the Buffy character, as well as writing a 24-issue for Astonishing X-Men in 2008.
Yeah, I was about to say, he was more than a fan. He was a writer of this series for
And actually, I think he was supposed to, and when he wrote the comic, he was trying to make a connection with Buffy. Buffy was supposed to be Scott Summers' cousin, and he was supposed to make a reference to that, saying like he has a cousin in a mental institution. So it's supposed to be a reference to the episode when Buffy was in season 6.
Right.
He was in a mental institution. Yeah. This is the first episode we see the grave with the name Alpert on the tomb. This is named after the producer, Richard Alpert. The tomb can be seen again throughout the series in Killed by Death, Becoming Part 1, The Zeppo, Something Blue, Superstar, Real Me, and Grave. Tamara Bryan, who plays one of the friendly girls in this episode, appeared as the vampire Tara in early season 2 episode when she was bad. Oh, I know that actress. Soap operas. In October 1st, 1999 issue of Entertainment Weekly, producer Garrett Davies states this as his favorite episode. Furthermore, Nicholas Brendon also claims this as one of his favorite episodes and found it hard not to laugh while filming the seduction scenes. The episode received an A- at TelevisionWithoutPity.com, cited as damn fine comedy. The user community, on the same hand, commends it as A+. The unofficial Buffy guide, Dusted, claimed that Buffy crushes the competition by doing fantasy standards better than anyone else on Earth. The background score was also praised in a short review. This is a Xander-centric episode and is included in the Slayer Collection Xander DVD.
Oh, God, I'm never getting that. I can't imagine a worse Christmas gift.
Guess what you're getting for Christmas? With passion, or on the passion, the Scooby Gang finally finds a way to uninvite vampires. An invitation spells are performed at Buffy and Willow's house on Cordelia's car. Presumably, Angel was never invited to Santa's house. It's clear at some point in the past off screen, Angel was invited to Giles' apartment because Buffy did Giles the materials he needs to perform the uninvited spell at his place. Unfortunately, Giles didn't have the opportunity to do the spell before Angelus was able to sneak Jenny Calendar's body inside. Giles does perform the uninvited spell afterwards since Angel needs to be reinvited in the third season episode of Mittens. The floppy disk containing the ritual of restoration will not be discovered by the Scoobies until Becoming Part 1. The episode sets the stage for Becoming Part 1 and Becoming Part 2, with Buffy and Willow accidentally rediscovered the disc. Willow manages to restore Angel's soul. Jenny wonders how Angelus got in her classroom, and Angelus makes a quip about the school having a sign in Latin, which translates roughly to, "Enter all ye who seeks knowledge." Jenny knows that vampires do not need invitations into public places like schools, and was just wondering how he snuck into her class without her noticing. Angelus was making a joke when he claimed the school's sign inviting him in. Although Jenny is killed in this episode, the actress makes two further guest appearances. In the second part of the season finale, where Drusilla hypnotizes Giles, thinking she's Jenny, and again in season 3, episode of Men's, as a manifestation of the first evil, intending to turn Angel evil again. The plot scene of Giles' personal attack on the Big Bad is seen again in Tough Love when Willow attacks Glory, without Buffy's knowledge, for attacking someone she loved. Both Willow and Giles are almost killed by the Big Bad, only to be saved by Buffy.
At least Willow was like,
Willow.
at least had some shit up her sleeve. She was like, throw it. If Willow
Yeah.
would have brought that attack, the brought attack she brought at Glory and Angelus, she probably would have killed him.
Yeah, she definitely would have killed him. Willow mentions that every Christmas she goes over to Xana's house to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and Xana dances the Snoopy dance. This will be touched upon again in season 5, The Replacement, when Xana dances the Snoopy dance on screen to prove his identity. When Angel kills Giles in season 8 is reminiscent of Jenny Callender's death in this episode. However, while Jenny is killed while Angel is in Vamp face because Giles did not want the audience to truly hate Angel's face, Giles dies while Angel is in his human disguise, possessed actually. Jenny's death finally gives Buffy the resolve to need to kill Angelus. True to Whedon's form, just as certain characters are about to find the happiness or have only just found it. In this case, Jenny and Giles' reconciliation. Tragedy strikes in the most unfortunate ways, leaving said characters worse off emotionally than before. Joss Whedon is terrible. He does it every time. Like, oh, you asshole. This is the first episode where Angel's sketching skills can be seen. Oh, that was so creepy. I'm so glad they portrayed, you know, someone breaking in, you know, sneaking into your room to watch you sleep as creepy as, you know, unfortunately Twilight tried to romanticize that shit. That shit is creepy. Like,
Well,
you know.
like, there has been some debate about Angel's creepiness factor all along. Like, some characters have always sort of identified him. Like, Xander has, for instance, always thought of Angel as
Yeah.
being like a stalker, which he kind of was,
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
did almost romanticize it earlier in the series.
Yeah,
But
that's
now that
true.
he's evil,
Yeah, but he wasn't sneaking in her room and shit. I think he did like once, but well, he to wake her up or something like that. But yeah, he wasn't just sitting there just watching her.
He
It was so
lurks.
fucking creepy.
According to him, he lurks.
Yeah,
He
he lurks. We learned that Willow's father is called Ira and is quite strictly Jewish, which is weird considering like his wife, Willow's mother, seems very. When we meet her in season 3, I can't think of the word, but she seems.
secular.
I don't know. Like she was like very accepting of, you know, Willow being a witch and shit like that, you know.
Was she, or
I
did she try to tie her to a stake and burn her? I don't
Well,
remember. You
that was
tell me.
well before the, you know, she
Yeah,
before
before
the,
she
you know,
tried
the
to
kids.
kill her, she was very accepting.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan and another student come to the library to borrow books. The only other people other than Owen and never kill a boy on the first day who ever do so.
Yeah, and they were so like shocked and
Love.
like, "What are you doing?" What does? I think Xander said something like, "Does this look like a Barnes and Noble?"
I love when that happens. Willow refers to Giles as a bookman to Buffy in this episode. Winifred Burkle will refer to another former watcher, Wesley Wyndham Price, as bookman in the Angel episode, A Hole in the World. Why the episode, though? According to Joss Whedon, Jenny Callender's death serves notice to fans. First, that no one's safe. Death is scary and real. And second, that Angel is not just a little evil. He's not grouchy. He's truly evil, and Buffy needs to address the situation. The series creator also jokes that the episode is a message to the actors. Be very good or I'll kill you.
Accurate.
Originally, Oz... Originally, Oz was supposed to be killed by Angel, but his character had a lot of potential, so the decision was made to kill Jenny instead.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Best for everybody, really.
Yeah.
Except for Giles.
Poor Giles. In an interview with BBC, Anthony Stewart says this is his favorite episode because it was a beautifully shot episode and a beautifully written one.
And one, he got a lot of screen time, man.
Yeah. Rovia LaMontagne, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, the woman that played Jenny Callender, laminated at her character being killed just as the show was getting popular.
Yeah, I imagine she
Yeah.
did.
It's like, shit. In the original version, Angelus says that the sign in front of the school in Latin is Formatia Trans Sincere Educatorum, which means into all ye who seek knowledge. That
Yeah,
line
he
is
is a
wrong.
knowledge seeker.
However, in however, in the Italian edition, is used the correct line, in gredit vos qui senses quertis. I failed Latin, so nice.
It's okay,
The
Buffy
sinner
failed
who
her written.
recorded the fitter who recorded the piece of opera used when Giles discovered Jenny's body wasn't even aware that his performance had been used on the show until the episode aired, and one of his daughters told him. Since the recording company owned the rights, no one had informed him. He was delighted. I think, was it Love O.M.? I think that's what the song was. I don't know. It's not in the trivia. But in classic Buffyverse style, the writers and producers at the end of the show retired the factory set by utterly destroying it.
That's one
They
way
do
to
destroy
do
a lot of stuff. They always destroy, like, you never see it again, because it was, like, destroy the magic shop, the library. This episode is included in the Slayer Collection Giles DVD.
That would be better than the
Killed
Xander
by
one.
Killed by Death. Willow's fear of frogs is brought up when she pretends to have frogs crawling all over her to permit Buffy to escape. The book on the cover, in which Cordelia finds the image of their Kindista, also contains the passage of an unnamed demon belonging to the Brotherhood of Seven that Buffy and Sid defeated in the puppet show. We have our first glimpse of a younger Buffy, played by Mimi Pally. It is established that Buffy had a cousin called Celia, who died when she was young, meaning that Buffy and Dawn have at least one aunt or uncle. This is the first of the three times Buffy is hospitalized, the other
Not
being graduation day part.
Necessarily. It didn't say they were first cousins.
That's true. This is the first of the three times Buffy is hospitalized, the others being graduation day part one and villains.
Not including the season 6 episode you alluded to, where she was possibly mentally hospitalized.
It has been conjectured that their Kinstead may have been inspired by Freddy Krueger, the antagonist in Nightmare on Elm Street. However,
they
Joss
resemble
Whedon
each
says
other.
That this. Yeah. However, Joss Whedon says that this cast was based on a thing that creeped him out as a kid.
Well, maybe
as
the thing that creeped him out as a kid was Freddy Krueger.
Right? As did many of the monsters in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. In general, the monsters were suggested by the vague boogeyman figures that bedevil many children. This script was originally planned as a first season episode. Yeah, see, that's why I felt like a first season episode, because it was supposed to be one.
Yep.
And then an episode before Angel became evil, it evolved into its aired form. Pop culture references. After Buffy says the kids called the monster, they saw death. Xander warned her not to play chess with him if he asked her to, because he's a whiz at it. This is a reference to the Swedish
Ingmar Bergman.
Movie The Seventh Seal, in which a medieval knight plays chess with death for his life.
Also a reference to Bill and Ted, which references The Seventh Seal,
yeah.
Where they keep trying to play different games of death and they never can beat
yeah.
him.
In a dream flashback, little Buffy played at being Power Girl, pretending to rescue her cousin, Celia. Power Girl is a DC Comics superhero who first appeared in 1976. Der Kinderstod literally means the children's death in German, but Giles is the only one to pronounce it with the correct accent. Cordelia is mistaken when she claims it means child death. The phone that Giles takes Joyce to when Buffy falls asleep in the hospital is unplugged and has no cord. You can easily see the empty jack on the lower left side of the phone. And that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, guys, we will be back next week with some exciting stuff for the end of season two. Give us a like, a comment, a subscribe, or a share. Also, check out our other pod where we talk about, we talk about different episodes across the landscape of television each week. It's called You're Damn Right. It's on the same channel, whether it's iTunes or Podomatic. We're up on both. Check us out. Thank you for listening. I'm John.
And I'm Ash.
And we're out.